I want to start with a story that Ezra heard already, but you haven't heard this story yet. There's a guy who is a child of Holocaust survivors, and he went off to Derech. He wasn't acting properly, and he got involved in the wrong crowd, and he did something illegal, and he got arrested, and he was looking at, 5 to 10 years in prison. And he spoke to a very, very good lawyer, and the lawyer usually gets people off indictments and so on. It was said, it's going to be very hard to help you. You're going to probably have to sit in jail for a decent amount of time. And he said, he was all upset, and he went to a restaurant, it sounds like Brooklyn or wherever, in the Jewish community, and he met an old man. An old man saw that he was very sad. So he said, "Why are you so sad?" So he said that he was indicted, he was arrested, and he was going to go to trial, and he was very depressed. So this older man said, "Go to my Rebbe for a bracha. Go to my Rebbe for a bracha, and you know, he'll help you." So he went to get a bracha, and his court date is rapidly approaching. And the day of the court date, the lawyer, the top-notch lawyer, didn't show up. He had some sort of flight delay; he couldn't come. So his backup lawyer came, and what happens? And the lawyer is talking gibberish. He makes no sense. The guy is sitting there, he's like, "I'm for sure going to be sent to jail. I'm in major trouble. What should I do?" And at the end of the court case, the judge says that he's innocent. Yeah, he closes it closer. The judge says he's innocent. So he says, "Innocent?" So he's ecstatic. He can't believe it. He's in shock. It turns out that the judge was the grandfather of the lawyer. And he said that obviously it wasn't such a serious case. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't so dangerous. Obviously, professionally, he didn't feel like he was doing the wrong thing. So he acquitted this young man. Mamish, a miracle. And why did he acquit him? Because he was his grandfather, and it was his first trial. He didn't want him to lose on his first trial. That was the story. So the guy went back. This young man who was acquitted went back to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, "You know, you should start wearing tefillin." So from wearing tefillin, this guy became frum. That's the story. But the mashal is unbelievable. The mashal is that if the judge is your grandfather, and he cares about the lawyer so much, and it's for his trial, so he's going to acquit him. That is the perspective a person has to have going into these days of the Yom Ha'aretz, the days of judgment. Oftentimes, you think about Hashem as this, you know, as the Malkeinu, as the Melech, that if we do the wrong thing, we're going to get punished. But we can't forget he's also Avinu, right? Just like that grandfather didn't want to see his grandson fail at his first time in court, so too Hashem doesn't want to see us fail. Hashem wants to see us succeed. And we have to remember that. And we have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us and He wants to help us. He wants to reach out for His help. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us that Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. The Torah, Hashem created Yitzhara, but we have the antidote called the Torah that helps us. And then it speaks about how intense, how strong the Yitzhara is. And the Gemara says, Ilmoli Ozro, right, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't help us, we wouldn't be able to overcome the Yitzhara. So what does that tell us? That Hashem understands. He sends us the Yitzhara. But He also, A, He uses the Torah, and B, if it wasn't for His help, right, we wouldn't be able to overcome the Yitzhara. He knows that. Habola Tayyar Misayno. So if you try, then Hashem helps you. You try to purify yourself, Hashem helps you. It's a different perspective. We think we're in this, you know, we're in this battle alone. We're only, right, it's us against the Yitzhara. The Yitzhara says to do this, to do that. We think we're all on our own. We're not on our own. We have Hashem's help. But the thing is, we have to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask Him for help. I was preparing for this year. I listened to a shiur I gave about 8 years ago, around this time, perhaps in this Yom Yun setting. And I said over a mashal that I heard from somebody else, that he said, if let's say you see a child that gets hurt in the street. You see a child that gets hurt in the street. If it's not your child, the likelihood is that you're going to walk by. You're going to pass by, and you're not going to stop to help the child. But if the child screams at you, "Hey, you know, I need your help," and he screams, help me, I need your help, cries out to you personally, so then the likelihood is that you're going to help that person. So that's the mashal. The nimshal is the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, Avinu, Malkeinu, we don't really feel it. We say, Hashem, you know, help us. But it's not real. But if we cry out to Hashem, we need your help. You're the only one who can help us. We're so dependent upon you. We need your help so badly. So then Hashem will come and help us. It's the same thing. We have to be like that child that grabs the person who's passing by, the same way. That's how we have to approach Hashem as well. And in that shir, I actually don't remember the details. It was 8 years ago. I told a story about a friend of mine who had a child that was born, and there was questions about the child's health. And the child had tests being done to it. And this guy woke up one morning, and his wife calls off the hospital that the tests came back about this baby, and the test results aren't good. And the guy said, oy vey, whatever. He went to daven. He davened his heart out. And after davening, he called his wife and said, it was a mistake. The test came back totally fine. The baby's totally fine. We see the Koach HaTefillah, Hashem oftentimes, He wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to reach out for His help. And right, it's also why we say that Sarah Imenu, right? It took her a long time to have a child. In contrast to Hagar, Hagar had a child right away, and she thought that meant that she was better than Sarah. But Chazal teaches that's not the case. The reason why Sarah didn't have a child right away was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's misavel tefilas and shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the tefillah of the righteous, and therefore, oftentimes a person is put into a challenge. Why? Because Hashem wants to hear from us. Right, if things are rosy, so Hashem doesn't hear from us. It's sort of the natural way is that the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu can wane and can weaken because the relationship is not there. Oftentimes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to give us a wake up call. Obviously, as individuals, but also as a nation, with what's going on now, the pandemic. Obviously, it's some form of wake up call. Do we know exactly why we have this tremendous call? Tremendous challenge. We don't know why, but it's certainly another message to all of us to reach out to Hashem for help. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, based on a pasuk that I think it's the Parshat Ekev, around Parshat Ekev, that says, "Enei Hashem Elokecha Ba," the eyes of Hashem are on Eretz Yisrael. May Rishis Hashanah Achir Hashanah, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now, the funny thing is that word May Rishis Hashanah is spelled without an aleph. What does that mean? So Amar B'Yitzchok in the Gemara, he says, Kol Shana She Rasha B'Tchilasa Mis Asheres B'Sofa. Any year that starts off poor, in the end, it ends up wealthy. So Rashi says, what does it mean? It means, and the Gemara says, like Tachnunim Yidaber Rosh, that supplications and begging does a poor person ask. And what does that mean? That means when a person goes ahead and davens to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah in the beginning of the year, as if he's a poor person, right? So then in the end, it's going to be wealthy. What's the Gemara teaching us? What's the pasuk really hinting to us? That if we turn to Hashem, Hashem, we have nothing. Right? We may have Baruch Hashem a family. We may have eyes and ears and legs and a brain. All these things, we're impoverished. The reality is, yes, I may have money in my wallet, but it has to be re-given to me on Rosh Hashanah and during these times in general. When a person understands that now during these 10 days, the 10 days when Hashem is the closest, right? Everything has to be re-given. And we are really poor, which means we have to be given everything anew during these 10 days. So then you daven to Hashem as if you have nothing. And people would say, actually I heard this from somebody a few days ago, this idea, that maybe last year our problem was, we said, oh yeah, Hashem, we need a little extra money, we need a little bit of extra health, we need a little bit of extra this, but we forgot to say, hey Hashem, but Hashem, you know, thank you that we're alive, that we don't have a magefa, we don't have a plague. And now we also have to have this, we have to have that perspective, that we are really poor. Everything, nothing, we can't take anything for granted anymore. If this last year doesn't, you know, teach us anything, it should be that thing, that we can't take even the things we take for granted, take for granted, usually we shouldn't take for granted. Right? I was saying on the Erev Hashanah to the Shana Bet guys, right? You know, we grew up, plagues, we know we take, right, vaccines for the measles and for the mumps and for polio and all these different things. We don't, what do you mean? We don't need Hashem's help to, you know, to not be affected by plagues. And Hashem reminded us that don't take anything for granted. And what does it mean to not take anything for granted? To realize that we're poor. What does it mean to be poor? Make ourselves out to be poor. That what? That there's nothing that we can take for granted. Not our physical abilities, not the family that we have, not the resources that we have, the money and property and so on and so forth. We can't take anything granted. We have to turn to Hashem and daven to Hashem. Hashem, please continue to sustain us from A to Z, because we can't take anything for granted. That being said, in terms of what we daven for, it seems to be a little interesting, right? We say, Uchsov l'chaim tovim kol b'nei v'secha. Ask Hashem for a good life. And we say, "V'sefer Chaim Bracha v'Yeshalom Parnasa Tova." Give us right Parnasa Tova Nizachim 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 Nizach maybe that's inappropriate. How can we ask Hashem for the good life? Right? We should be satisfied with the fact that we're alive. What gives us the audacity to ask Hashem for a good life? So I saw in the Sefer from Nosson Tzvi Finkel, he was saying as follows, right? He furthered the question. It's like you're going to the coronation of the king, and you say, King, you know, can I have some extra money? Can I have a good life? What kind of business is that? So he said, based on the Akedah Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu asked to be strapped down. What was he nervous about? He was nervous when things got difficult, maybe he would kick his father. Maybe he wouldn't have proper honor for his father, and his father was about to sheft him at the court at Kedah Yitzchak. So he asked, please tie me down. Why? Because I don't want to be bullied. I don't want to kick you. I don't want to kick my father while I'm doing the right thing. So that's what Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel said. How can we ask for Chaim Tovim? Why don't we good life? Because we want to serve Hashem. It's going to be Lamancha. All the resources, all the things we want in life is only that we can serve Hashem better. What are we nervous about? We're nervous about if times are difficult, we may chas v'shalom, just like Yitzchak Avinu, who need to be tied down. If things get difficult for us, we say, Hashem, what are you doing to me? It's too hard for me. And therefore, what do we say to Hashem? Hashem, we want to serve you to the best of our ability. To help us serve you properly and always be in good situation, we need a Chaim Tovim. This way we can serve you benachas, with happiness and so on. Because we're afraid. Now, of course we're going to be dedicated servants. Of course we're going to serve you with dedication. But we're afraid that if things don't work out, if things aren't challenging for us, we may come to, sort of disrespect Chas V'Shalom to you, Hashem. And therefore, we're asking for Chaim Tovim not stop to just enjoy life and to have a party, but rather we want to make sure that our service is as complete and as wholesome as possible. And that's why we're able to say, we're going to Hashem during these days, Hashem, give us Chaim Tovim, give us Shalom, give us Parnasa Tovim, give us good money. Why? Because that will enhance our ability to serve you, and Chas V'Shalom wouldn't impede, it wouldn't cause us to detract from any of our service from you, Hashem. There's so many times in davening we ask ourselves that we're saying Avinu Malkeinu, Menama gave him an achas, take away the plague, and there's a beautiful tefillah at the end right before Birchas Kohanim, right before Uksov L'Chaim Tovim Kol Bnei Yisrael, we say Avinu Malkeinu, Zchor Rachamecha, remember your mercy, Kvosh Chasla, and take away Takola, Pegara, Machla, Shalom Zinas Chinom, Pegara, all these different ailments. And here we are, we could say to ourselves, you know what? Our tefillos have power. Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita is also davening. And so many other gedolim have davened. And so many other gedolim are davening. Little me? My tefillah really, really matters? It can really tip the scales? And the answer is yes, it can. And I thought of a muscle, right? A football muscle, right? Oftentimes, who wins the game? It's the fourth receiver. The first receiver is covered. The second receiver is covered. The third receiver is covered. Of course, you needed them, because otherwise you'd have the best cornerback on the fourth receiver. But the point is like this. That who knows? Sometimes it's that unsung hero. Maybe you're going to be that unsung hero. Your tefillah, when you concentrate in your tefillah, that's going to tip the scales, and that's going to bring the bracha to the world. Who knows? Each one of us has their own ability, a unique ability to do that. And just to bring that point home a little more, the Ramchal says each and every person has their own mission. So you're right. You don't have to worry about, okay, which are the million people that are davening, for the Avinu Malkeinu, Menama Gei Fim Rachel Secha, who's going to be the one that's going to be answered? It's not going to be me. No, that's not our problem. That's none of our business. We are given the opportunity to daven. We have a beautiful, holy neshama. We daven to the best of our ability. Then we're fulfilling our mission. It reminds me of the Mishnah of Avos tells us, "Im ein ani li, mi li." If I'm not for myself, who am I? So most of us understand that line to mean, right? If I don't take care of myself, if I don't learn, so nobody's going to learn for me. But I once heard an amazing chat from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says each one of us have a mission, right? "Im ein ani li." If I don't do my job, mi li? Who's going to do my job? Each one of us are here for a specific reason. It's as if, right, the Rosh Memshala, the Prime Minister, or the President of Aviv tells you, you're the only one that can do this. When Hashem puts us in this world, He's basically telling us, there's only you who can do this mission. There's only you who can be Shana Aleph and daven in Torah Shraga and say Avinu Malkeinu and ask Hashem for Shalom in this world and you as well. So the word is that each one of us, we're here on a mission. And nobody else can do our job. And therefore, it's a totally different perspective. That it's not, you're right, there are hundreds of thousands, hopefully, that are davening for Kvod Shemayim. Uvchein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu. That's true. But nobody has your unique character traits, your unique ability, your unique situation in life, and that you're the one who's davening for, obviously, for Kvod Shemayim and for all the brachos that we need in this year. I often say over this story, and I think it's kedai to say it again, And that is about the, it said it at the end of the year, that there was once a young emergency room doctor. And he was told that when he's in charge of the emergency room, you know, take care of all the patients that come in, fine. But if it gets hectic and it gets crazy, so then there's a phone here, you call up on this phone, and then backup doctors will come, and you'll get assistance. And one night, he was working like crazy. It was crazy busy in the emergency room. And since it got so busy, unfortunately, somebody was attended to, and that person passed away. And they came to this doctor and said, you know, we're gonna have to fire you, and you're actually going to be in trouble with the law. I think it's actually a true story. You're going to be in trouble with the law because you were negligent and you didn't call for an extra doctor to come help when things got very, very busy. We're holding you responsible. And he's like, what? What do you mean? Do you know how hard I worked that night? Do you know how many hours I worked? Do you know how I saved that one and that? Like, that's beautiful. You know what? You're right. But you were told that if things get too busy and too hard, you're supposed to call for backup. And I think it's a true story. Shimon Pinker says, and he says about tefillah. Here we are, we have challenges in life. There's so many things going on. But we have a backup, Hashem. Hashem's always there. When things get tough, Hashem is always there for us to reach out for Him. That's something that we have to do. And you know, as you say the vidui, as you ask for forgiveness for all the things that we do wrong, part of that should be Hashem. We messed up, but you know what, Hashem? We don't want to mess up in the future, and you know what? We can't do it alone. We can't do it without you. We need your help, Hashem. Hashem, you know, this type of learning is difficult for me. And this type of, you know, Lashon Hara is difficult for me. Hashem, I'm so sorry I can't, you know, I say not nice things to people. Hashem, please help me. We're not alone. We're like that ER doctor who's supposed to, yes, there are challenges, but you know what you're supposed to do with the challenges? Ask Hashem for help. He's there. He's like that loving grandfather who will never let his grandson fail in court. He wants us to succeed. But we have to actually take that first step. We have to go ahead and we have to ask Him. As the Pasuk tells us, Hashem says, all you have to do is open the eye of the needle. And I will open that eye of the needle like a vestibule, like a huge hall. That's what Hashem wants us to take that first step. And that's what tefillah is. That's how tefillah connects to Yom Kippur. Because Hashem understands our challenges. But like that muscle where the kids crying, help me, help me, help me. That's what they say to Hashem. It's not enough if we say, Hashem, I did all these sins. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to try to do better. What do you mean I'm trying to do better? Try, but also ask me for help, says Hashem. And that's how we have to go ahead and we have to approach it. Now, the Rambam, just to say, you know, halacha, the Rambam says a very famous halacha. Right? I'm going to skip each individual, right? During these times, you're supposed to imagine as if you're 50, at any moment in life, you're supposed to imagine as if you're 50% mitzvos, 50% averos, and the next movie you make is going to make the difference. That's a way to psych yourself up and to go ahead and say, oh, I need more merits, I need more merits, because I have to look at right? A person's always supposed to look. It's called Echad Echad Mimnei Ha'adam, Yisrael Zchus Vavonos, Mish Zchus Viseros, Alvonos of Tzadik. If you have more of mitzvos, then you're Tzadik. If you have more averos, then you're Rasha. If you have mechza, mechza, you're Benin. Listen to this. A country is like that as well. If the country has more merits, so then that country is saved and is righteous. But if it's a country that has more averos than wicked, and then the whole world is judged like that. Okay, the Lechem Mishnah asks the following strong question that we should all perhaps have asked. This is a halacha, straight up halacha, that if a medina has more averos, Lechem Mishnah asks this question. And it's a question that we're all familiar with, this Chumash. But listen to this. It says that if you have more averos than mitzvos, done. It's a wicked country and they should deserve, I guess, destruction. Says Lechem Mishnah, Avim Tomar, Imkin Kim Distom Avonasam Rubin, Mishkhusel Lama Kodesh Borkohaim Mokhlehem, Mishvilacham Mishim Tzadikim, Kim Adin No Sinshin Evades. I don't understand. We all know Avram Avinu was allowed to daven. And he asked Hashem, if there are 50 tzaddikim in Sdom, then Sdom would be saved. Hold on a second. If there are more averos than mitzvos, then halacha says that Sdom needs to be destroyed. How in the world could Hashem have agreed that if there were 50 tzaddikim in Sdom, that they would be saved? That's not the calculation. According to the halacha, if Sdom had more averos than mitzvos, boom, destruction. Why would it help to have 50 tzaddikim? Doesn't make any sense. V'yesh lomar answers the definition of mipnei tfilos Avram hayamochel afa pish en adinkach. Because of the tefillah of Avram, Hashem would have been mochel. He would have forgiven the sins. Even though halachically speaking, more averus and mitzvos, the city needs to destroy, the Medina, the country needs to be destroyed. Unbelievable. Because of tefillah, because tefillah can change everything. When you ask for tefillah, when you ask Hashem for help, so he can be mochel avonos. Unbelievable thing. And you're telling me, oh, it's Avram Avinu. Well, guess what? We are the great, 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 great grandchildren of Avram Avinu. I actually made a calculation. Assuming every generation is 30 years, right? And Avram Avinu lived in 1948, right? 5781 minus 1948. I made the calculation once. I'm not going to do it right now. It's about 180 generations. Right? When you think about, you know, grandparents, great-grandparents, you can already know, you know, 4 or 5 generations back. So 180 doesn't sound that crazy. Doesn't sound like it's so long ago. We're mamish, great, 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 great. I mean, we can do it 179 times, 180, whatever, right? From Avram Avinu. We have that power. We have the power. We ask Hashem, we need your help. Hashem, forgive us. Hashem, help us. So we can go ahead and do the same thing. We can take a nation, a community, or whatever, that has more averos than mitzvos, even for ourselves. If we have more averos than mitzvos, we can go ahead, and, just like tefillah from Avraham Avinu helped to overturn, tip the scales for Sodom, it could tip and overturn the scales for us as well. Okay? So there's no question about it. The tefillah has to play a central role in our davening during these 10 days. Which, of course, the pasuk tells us, "Dirshu Hashem b'matzo ve'oso korov." Hashem is the closest during these 10 days. So obviously, now when He's so close, now's the time to tap into this power of tefillah. We should get used to talking to Hashem all the time. Hashem, I need to make the bus. Hashem, I want to do well on this test. Hashem, I want to, you know, land a job. I want this, my plans to work out. I want to, you know, marry the right girl. All these things. Just get used to talking to Hashem for help. That's what He wants. He wants us to have a relationship with Him. By the way, I was choosing with somebody on Rosh Hashanah on the way home. I was asking him, I don't understand. You know, so much of tefillah is about the Gilui Shechina, Mashiach, Beis HaMikdash, right? Uvchein Tein Pachtecha is all about that. V'yeda kol pu'u ke'atof y'altof y'avim kol yitzur right? Let every creature, every Jew, every person in the world recognize your kingdom. It's all about the Mashiach. We say every day, all this, like, shouldn't we get, again, it hasn't happened. We've been davening, it seems as though we've been davening this so long. What's the pshat? What should our perspective be? So he explained to me that, our obligation is Mashiach coming at any moment. And that's what we're davening for. Right? But we have to feel like our relationship with Hashem as an individual and the relationship of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the relationship with the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not properly complete until Gilui Shechina, until Mashiach, until Beis HaMikdash. And we have to have a certain longing for that. Again, not a longing that if it doesn't happen by tomorrow, we should become despondent and distressed about it. But this idea that Hashem, we need you in our, we need you Gilui Shechina, we need you more in our lives. Our lives, as good as our lives are, our life is not complete without you. As an individual and as a nation, right? We're longing for you. We have to work in this longing for Hashem, this relationship. We have, Baruch Hashem, we try to have a relationship with Hashem. Our relationship is nothing compared to what it should be. And we want your presence in the world to be that much more intense. And for me as an individual, for Klal Yisrael and for the world in general. That's an aside. Fine. So just getting back to what I was saying, that during these times specifically, we have to tap into this koach tefillah. Now, I saw this morning from Michael Biderman quotes Rav Huttner, a beautiful muscle, which fits into something I used to always say over a very beautiful idea. He says that there was a guy who put his house on the market, and somebody offered him $500,000 for his house. And somebody offered him $700,000 for his house, and then somebody offered him $750,000, and it kept on going up and up and up. And they're like, "No, you don't want to sell?" He's like, "No, I don't want to sell. I just wanted to know how valuable my house was." That's the muscle. That's what he wanted to figure out. He wanted to figure out how valuable his house was. So says Rav Huttner, how do you figure out how valuable your Avodas Hashem is? You know, you should see how hard the Yetzer Hara is investing, how hard the Yetzer Hara is working to try to bother you, right? if the Yetzirah is bothering you, and he, right, what does it show? That your Avodah Hashem is very valuable. If you're having a hard time davening, if you're having a hard time doing something in Ruchnias, in learning, in Binam L'Chaver, or in anything, what does that show you? That the Yetzirah shows that it's valuable. Otherwise, the Yetzirah wouldn't invest so much time and energy to bother you. This also is Meduyuk in the Pasuk, we say, L'Dabar Hashem Orav Yishi, we say, Im Takum Alayim Milchama, Bizos Ani Boteach. Hold on a second. If a war comes to you, right? Im Takum right, comes up to you, Bizos Ani Boteach, in that I do find guarantee, or, yeah, guarantee is Bizos Ani Boteach, I find to be secure. I'm, what? When a war starts with me, that's what a war brings security? The answer is yes. If the Yetzirah is fighting with you, you know what that shows? That you're doing something right. Because if you were doing everything wrong, if you weren't, if your Avodah Hashem was invaluable, the Yetzirah wouldn't start with you. And I heard a friend of mine told me a mashal like this many a long time ago. There was a guy that was walking in the forest, okay, and there were bandits there. When did the bandits know to go attack him? Well, guess what? If the guy had his sack of whatever he's carrying flung over his shoulder and obviously not caring about what's in his sack, then it's probably thorns and thistles. But if the guy is walking in the forest holding a sack very tightly, then most likely what does he have there? He probably has gold and silver in there. And that's what they're going to attack. The same thing with the Yetzirah. If a person has no upside, a person has no growth in Ruchnias, so then the bandits would never bother him. The Yetzirah would never bother him. So what happens? But if the bandits come after you, if the Yetzirah is bothering you, you know what that means? That your Avodas Hashem is valuable. Dafka, when it's challenging, when you know it's, that means that you are in a prime situation to do great things. And I think he said, in this generation, there's so many different challenges, so many distractions. You know what that means? That during our generation specifically, we have the power. We go ahead and we learn and we can persevere and be holy and be great in the eyes of all the challenges that exist during the pandemic and during other challenges. That shows that that we have tremendous power. And he brings another raya to this. And then with this, I'll close. The Mishnah Avos, I think it's Perakeh, Mishnah Hey, there were 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. And one of those miracles was that the Kohen Gadol didn't see keri, he didn't see semen, the night of Yom Kippur. Now obviously, it would be very problematic if he saw keri the night before they avoded the Beis HaMikdash. But if you know the Mishnahis over there tell us that they wouldn't let him fall asleep. They had the floor of the Beis HaMikdash was cold, so he'd stay up. And they had like little kids from Kwano like snapping their fingers to make sure he stayed up all night. So many different things. I don't understand. What's the great miracle? If they're trying so hard to make sure he wouldn't fall asleep, then obviously he didn't see Kerry at night. Why is that a miracle? The answer is no. When there's greatness and holiness and Kedusha that's going to happen, you better be sure that what? The Yitzhar is going to work extra doubly hard. That's why it's a miracle. Because when the Yitzhar works super, when there's tons of Kedusha there and tons of potential and tons of holiness, the Yitzhar works the hardest. And the fact that even so, the Kohen Gadol never became Tamei the night of Yom Kippur, that in itself is a miracle. So he had four different proofs, right? The Nisim Batech, the Mashal about the house, the Mashal about the thistles, and the Kohen Gadol. That the harder it is to overcome the Yetzirah, the greater the sign that you're on the right track, and that your Avodas Hashem has meaning and has power. And that is so we can close. Because when a person, his tefillah is challenging. If your tefillah is challenging for you, you know what that means? That it must be the Yetzirah realizes that if your tefillah gets off the ground, if your tefillah is good, then it's going to have tremendous power. That's something you should tell yourself. You get distracted in the middle of davening. You say, my tefillah is not worth anything. No, I think exact opposite. You know why it's getting distracted and spacing out and getting different thoughts? Because the Yetzirah is trying to mess with you. Because the Yetzirah knows how much power is inside of your tefillos. And with these two yisodos, first of all, understanding that the Yetzirah is bothering you, it means your tefillos are valuable. And ideally, we always have to turn to Hashem. During Aseret Teshuva, on Yom Kippur and in life, Hashem is He's Avinu. He's Avinu Av HaRachman. He wants to have mercy on us. But like any father, he wants to hear from us. And that's what we have to do during these times. Use the power and the tools and the vehicle of tefillah to bring ourselves a Gemara Chasimah Tovah.